You know that ridiculous way pet owners talk to their animals?
Who's my boy? You want a potty for daddy?
Yeah, he's the best dog in the world.
Yeah, you won't hear any of that here. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And we have with us back after the break, Don Pizzaferrato, who's a certified ABC dog trainer with Annabelle's Pet Station in downtown Lansing. Rick, you had a comment that you wanted to make about how other animals can be affected by clicker training.
Yeah. Don's influence, a good friend of mine, her name's Leslie, and she gave me as a gift, you know, I think Don's enthusiasm about this is pretty contagious, because as a gift during the holidays, one thing that I got was a clicker training manual to train fish. And you can actually train fish to it comes with this miniaturized version of like a soccer field and a way in which he can move the item in and around and through the loops and stuff like that, almost like a little underwater gymnasium type of circus act. And I find that really, really funny, because, you know, they're using it in public aquariums to train whales, and you can also train a goldfish to kind of run through a hoop or anything like that. I just found that pretty fun.
Well, and you also said that they had it for birds as well.
Exactly, yes. And obviously with birds, they're an extremely intelligent and kind of treat-oriented animal. So there's a book that she gave us on that specific test too. So it's something that we all need to look at more closely.
Gotcha. Don, let me ask you this question. When it comes to clicker training, is there a certain time when it's more likely to work with a dog? If they're younger, I would imagine it's better to get them accustomed to this training. And is it something that I think you had mentioned that they can be weaned off of? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yes, I would have to say that while clicker training is especially effective for shy or highly anxious dogs, because it's such a clear communication device, it kind of gives them a sense of their world and what's going on around them. So I would say anytime you acquire a new dog, it's a good time to start clicker training with them, because you are creating an open communication that's based on trust and a positive relationship. Shelter dogs are particularly influenced by clicker training, because their lives have been so upside down for a while. Abused dogs that are scared will come out of their shells with clicker training. We use a lot of targeting clicker training, meaning having the dogs touch their noses to your hand, which helps them learn, if they've been abused, that the hand doesn't hurt, that it can actually create a positive experience for them. So any time you have a new dog, a puppy, that you're trying to create a relationship with, I would start with clicker training. I think it brings a dog out of their shell very quickly and builds a really terrific, strong bond right away.
Right. Well, now, there are some trainers that we've had on here, and I will say that they have taken the approach that corrective training is sometimes the more important approach, or that it's at least an important component of the whole thing. Can you help me understand their perspective on that, and what's your take about that? I mean, because, again, for a lot of people, it's a unique perspective to say we're only going to positively reinforce and we're not going to negatively show when an animal does something we don't want them to do to get them to stop doing it. So can you kind of deal with that issue a little bit?
Sure. Well, I know that for every dog, there's a trainer, and there's a lot of different types of trainers. And I don't completely negate corrective training. I've done some corrective training myself. I've kind of moved more and more away from it all the time. But corrective training in a dog that's already insecure, in my opinion, can increase their insecurities And the more that a dog is insecure and frightened, the more dangerous they are. So understand that corrective training can, in some ways, if it's consistent, actually be something that the dog can rely on. But the other thing about clicker training that I find fascinating and very good is that you can actually change an emotional response to a stimulus with clicker training just by clicking and treating that calm behavior when a dog is excited. So a dog that's, you know, frightened and tense can only keep up that tense, frightened behavior for so long before it has to finally relax. And if you click and treat the relaxed state, the dog is going to start reverting to that state more and more to get that reinforced reward. So in the case of bully breeds, who some dogs, you don't know what environment they're coming from. You don't know what they've experienced in their lives. To try to build a relationship built on correction seems to be counterproductive to me. Now, I'm not saying that at some point that might not be necessary, but I would venture to guess that it probably should be the last resort instead of the first resort.
And how does that all relate to when we listen to trainers in your specific example, the idea of being the alpha character? Is it?
Well, I don't really believe in the whole alpha thing, because quite frankly, I think domestic dogs are less pack oriented than we think that they are.
Okay.
I think that you create a pack, but I don't necessarily think that they need to be a pack. Like some people think that all dogs have to be in a pack, and I don't truly believe that, although I could be wrong. But I do believe, and you know, most people just simply want a dog they can live with.
Right.
And certainly manners and training help to achieve all that end goal. But probably the most important and probably the most difficult step in that goal of having a dog you can live with is just being a strong, patient, consistent, benevolent leader, much like being a parent.
Sure.
Just being consistent, drawing the lines of behavior that you will accept and you won't accept, and not necessarily correcting the bad behavior, but don't give energy to the bad behavior. Give energy to the good behavior.
And to some extent, I you know, I'm pretty innocent about dog training, but that almost sounds alpha-like in many ways, because the dog learns quick enough that through you, everything happens still.
Correct.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
But not necessarily in a corrective.
That's
fine. It's kind of like
the
argument between spanking your children and not spanking,
right,
that Lee brought up earlier. It's not necessary, in my opinion, to go to that that step.
Now, Lee, what I'm really excited about is, let's go a little bit about the actual training, interesting habits we were talking about before, free shaping and such. Maybe get into that conversation about the actual training of an animal and a dog and how that goes about. Because to hold on to a clicker and have a dog is one thing, but to actually start understanding how to physically use that, obviously your class can be a fantastic accelerator of that. But to even get somebody to want to go to your class, I think they have to have a better idea of connecting those two things together.
Sure.
I mean, it sounds like a great concept.
Right.
Give us some actual applied understanding of how this whole thing works.
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, I mentioned the clicker. When you click, you must treat. The one thing that people really confuse about the clicker is the clicker is not a remote control that when you click it, you can make your dog do stuff. You first have to get behaviors. So there are methods of getting behaviors that you're going to mark with the clicker because that's what you want. And shaping is a method that is used to get behaviors. And free shaping, which is one of my new classes that I'm doing right now, is actually allowing free exploration of objects or environment by your dog, where the handler will mark and click any behaviors towards to encourage the final behavior that you want. So it's really fun. Dogs that have been clicker trained get really good on this because clicker training builds on itself. And a dog that's been clicker trained, when you present them with a an object or even a space, they will explore it and start interacting with it, trying to figure out what they have to do to get you to click so they can get that treat. So the dogs actually start thinking and interacting very, very, very quickly, and they have a lot of fun.
That sounds like a very interesting approach. The only question I might have to it is what happens when you have conflicting stimulus? And I'll give you a specific example that I run into frequently. I have Australian Shepherds, and one of them has a fantastic prey drive. But he loves food and treats a lot also. But where I sometimes run into conflict is when it comes down to chasing the bunny rabbit or the squirrel as opposed to getting the treat. Sometimes the bunny rabbit and the squirrel win out over the treat. And that's where, frankly, in my experience, an electronic collar comes in handy because it allows me to reach out and touch him and get him to say, well, the treat's a good second place and get him in that direction. Help me understand how that works in the world of clicker training.
Have somebody come to your doorbell and ring it and do not react and let your dog just go off the wall and just continue to react. And then finally, when they go calm, you click them and they treat them. All of a sudden, you got a dog that's like a lot more interested in you and the click and the treat when the doorbell goes off than what's happening at the door. It's because we've stimulated them so much by the doorbell. Because we always get up. There's always somebody new, something fun,
exciting.
And you're
always trying to engage something in there, and they don't understand that. They just know that it's the big routine.
Yeah. So it's called desensitization training, where you offer the stimulus without the same normal reaction. You know, what they say, the definition of insane is trying to get a different reaction from the same thing.
Right.
Or something
that. Right.
And the other method you could use for that particular situation, Lee, is to teach your dogs that a distraction is actually a source of reinforcement for them. And we do this with my stay work, where I actually add a distraction at the very beginning of teaching my dog stay, where I actually throw cookies to each side of them and click and treat them for not going to the cookie. So they learn, oh, the cookie's being thrown, but I get the treat from mom. So if I don't pay attention to that, I get my treat from mom. And you do it close up at first, and then you make it intense, and you start throwing them, you know, getting them closer and closer to the dog, where what the dog learns is anytime there's a distraction, it's really an opportunity to get reinforced and get a cookie.
Interesting. Dawn, when it comes to your classes, I know that you've endlessly got classes going on. How would people go about signing up for them, and how can they get more information about your clicker training that you're doing?
Yes, I have two clicker classes on Wednesday nights. I have a beginner clicker class at 6 o'clock at Annabelle's Pet Station, and I have an intermediate clicker class where we do free shaping of behaviors starting at 7 o'clock. They can get information about the classes at www.coolcitydogs.com, Annabelle's website. And I also do private in-home training, and they can reach me at my home phone number for that.
Okay. And they can also get photographs taken of their animal as well.
Absolutely.
Which I know is something else that you're involved with. Thank you very much for coming on the show. We've been talking today with Dawn Pizzaferrato, certified ABC dog trainer from Annabelle's Pet Station. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue our conversation about dogs, and we're going to talk with the Animal Placement Bureau and find out what's been going on there in terms of trying to help and save a dog's life, right here after the break on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.